It's a gorgeous day for an artist talk, and I hope afterward that you'll spend a lot of time looking at Gail's work, including this wonderful side room over here that has a new way of botanical observation that I think you all will enjoy. And I just checked to see when we first started working together, and it's almost 20 years.
Wow.
It was April 2000. Wow. And these long relationships with artists, not only do we benefit tremendously what we learn from them and the way they see, but it's people come to know their work and appreciate it. And we present things throughout the year. But we did a catalog between the two shows. So some of the works in this show are included and works from the previous show. And there's an interview with Linda Ridgway. Thank you very much. And so your graduate degree came from SMU, undergraduate from the University of Texas, which she's now working with on their art advisory board. And a show is coming up at the museum in Marshall, Texas next year. So stay tuned for that. And thank you, Gail, for agreeing to talk about your works. And please silence your phones, because we are recording this for people who couldn't be with us. And reserved questions perhaps for the end, just in case Gail has an eye to talk about them.
Sure.
Thank you,
Well,
Gail.
I want to thank everybody that contributes at Valley House. I mean, everybody, it took about six people to make this happen. So everybody worked really hard, and very much appreciated. The title of this exhibit is Made in Layers, and Cheryl likes to have a title for a show, and it's always a really hard thing to come up with. And I had different versions of this, and finally we got it down to its essence. And what's really good about it is it's now giving me something to talk about. So I had to think about Made in Layers, and I'm working that way, and I'm working on plexiglass, which I've been doing for some years. And as you know, plexiglass, you can see straight through it, and I work on the front and I work on the back. So those are two layers. In some of my pieces, there are two pieces of plexiglass, and the plexiglass is placed in front of the other layer. So I'm working on the front and the back of that. So we end up with four layers. I became fascinated with this approach after making a million monoprints on plexiglass. And I would hold up the piece of plexiglass and there was an image left, the ghost image. And finally, the whole thing just evolved, that interest in these layers and that material. When I meet people that just casually, like at a party or I'm having my hair cut or something like that, they'll say, "Well, what's your art like?" And I will argue. It really is almost painful to have to describe what you do, because it's so complicated. And the short answer is I'm interested in flowers and I'm interested in landscape. And usually that's what I say, and that satisfies everyone. But I'm also interested in what artists have worked with spatially since the Renaissance. I'm interested in space. And I am making allusions to the fact that there is a deep space, and I'm also working with the idea that I'm working on a flat plane. So if you get into the piece, I'm hoping that you are seeing that I'm my concerns are with abstraction, and I'm very concerned with the surface, the deep space. In a lot of the pieces that you see today, there is this horizontal line that goes along the top. Well, that line relates to the edge at the top, and it relates to the edge at the bottom. So that's a design compositional element. It also suggests a horizon line in the landscape. So it functions in two ways. The way that I have lined up these glass spaces, I'm hoping that I'm hinting a little bit at the fact that as things go back in space, they get smaller, diminishing scale. But at the same time, there are all these things, and then there's just the joy and the beauty of the flower.
Yes.
You know, part of my process is going out and finding just the right flower. And the flowers that I like the best are flowers that are full-formed, simple shapes, like lilies and cosmos, hollyhocks. I'm just not crazy about blue bonnets. I mean, I feel like, you know, being a Texas artist, I feel like I should at some point do something with blue bonnets, and I probably will.
The next show.
But blue bonnets just have not, I haven't gotten involved with blue bonnets yet. And, you know, the thing about it is, maybe if I had a blue bonnet and I could look at it really closely and see all the little shapes, I could maybe then, you know, explore it. But blue bonnets are not with me. Now, a Texas flower that I like a lot are those pink buttercups that bloom every spring. And the fact that you get to see them every spring and they keep blooming is very comforting. You know, these cycles that we have of in nature, which I hope is not disturbed, I think makes us all feel like our world is safe. So in that piece over here, those pink buttercups are all placed around, and they're in that piece. So I really did want to do something with the Texas buttercups because I just like that flower and I love the shapes. So that was important to me. When my last show was called The Shape of a Flower, this show could have been called that too, really, because shape is so important to me. And I think I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this piece because it's simple, but it's complicated. And I was really, really happy with the way the paint worked on this daylily. It is tangible. You can touch it. It's abstract, but it also is that sunflower. So when I, it just worked. And this flower is something that those rows of Sharon bushes it's kind of like an old fashioned flower. I mean, I remember them forever. And this is just the kind of flower that really attracts me because of the big blooms and the blossoms. And I own this vase. It was my mother's vase. And it appears in several of the pieces here. This is painted on the surface. This is a drawing of the same vase and flower. And I have juxtaposed some other flowers on top of that. This bottle and butterfly bush flower is cut out of paper and it's applied to the back. This work has a lot to do with my process. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think that I had some drawings just flat on my table and I saw them across the table and that kind of got me started on this. This shape is painted on the front. It echoes this shape. This was one of the last things that I added. And it helped me give this vase something to sit on. And it also was another relationship that I found kind of exciting. There are a couple of little brush strokes of pink, acrylic paint on the surface of this. And a couple of people have asked me, well, why did you do that? And I said, because I wanted you to see that the blue is painted on the back. Mm. The blue background is on the back. So these things kind of grow as I'm working, and I'll have a whole lot of things on my table. Photographs of flowers, drawings of flowers. I'll have real vases with flowers in them. And so I'm looking at all of those things. Some of you know that in the summertime I go to Santa Fe and I work there in July and August, and I really enjoy the fact that I'm surrounded by a garden and all of these things are blooming every day. So I get to go out and watch these new things blossom up. And I can pick them and bring them in and then put them in vases and work with them. Mirage started as this piece has two pieces of plexiglass. So you're looking at four layers. It is predominantly acrylic paint. There's a little bit of paper collage worked into the flower group. And the drawing of the mountain and the landscape in the back is China marker. And I really like working with different materials and combining the elements. And I think it gives it maybe a dimension of time. When I left Santa Fe this summer, I thought this piece was finished, and I had it professionally photographed. And I thought, well, it's finished. And I brought it home, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and looked at it. And finally, I decided that it wasn't finished. And I added this vase,
Wow.
And that's sunflower. Daylily. And I added this, that is an orange poppy. And then it was finished. I just looked at it and looked at it and looked at it. And finally I decided it wasn't quite there. But all of these flowers, the cosmos, the dahlias, the poppies, the sunflowers, the rose, they're all around me. And so I get a lot of pleasure in my process because I get to look at these beautiful things. So now, some people have asked me about this piece on this wall. And they say, well, that one looks so traditional. And really though, if you really look at it, I have a lot of the same concerns. The fact that I started this flower pot on the edge of the piece, again, is talking about the flatness of the picture plane. And I've got the horizontal line that's echoing the horizontal of the picture plane. I've brought the fact that these things are coming to the edges. I'm always aware of edges. That is a compositional design that cannot be ignored. I mean, it really does. It's something I'm kind of a fanatic about. But anyway, so this particular piece, I hate to admit it, but I will. I got my flowers from the florist at Avant Garden. And I went in there. I love to go in there, the one on Oak Lawn, because they have such beautiful examples of flowers. Like if they have an anemone, it's the most beautiful anemone you've ever seen. Or it's the most beautiful orchid you've ever seen. Well, when I saw these orchids and the fact that these stems were moving so widely, I knew that they were going to be a great way to move you and divide up the picture plane. It was just a natural. So I grabbed up those flowers and took them home. The vases are old-fashioned 19th century pieces that my mother had. I think they're a little bit suggestive of Oriental chinoiserie type things, which goes along with the idea of the flatness of the picture plane. But there is an illusion of space at the same time, because I have made this base, which is here, is the same base as that base. So the size of this tells you that it is farther back in space. So that was on purpose. It was kind of thought out. And this is on the front, it's on the back. Most of it is paint. The line is a litho pencil. Sometimes I go in with shadows with litho pencil, but the only thing that's not paint and it's acrylic is that one pencil line that goes across. I love the pencil line because drawing is so important to me. And it just goes back to the beginning of what I learned to do as an artist. It's important. September Garden is right back there. I made that whole piece in Santa Fe, I did do it in September, and I liked it a lot because of the fact that it kind of, some of the flowers were fading, and it kind of hints at a little bit of wind, and there was some movement to it, and I found all the flowers there. Drew the flowers. The black flowers start as a white line drawing on white paper, a black line drawing on white paper, and then I reverse the image, and that's how I get the black. And those are cut out. There's a lot of collage in that piece. So anyway, anybody. Those are prints. Okay. They were made from drawings, and they're archival pigment prints. And I love the white line on the black.
But you start with the dark line on white.
Yeah. And Cheryl said, "Well, Gail, what if somebody wants one of those black line on white?" And I said, "Well, Cheryl, a lot of them have been cut up. they kind of get cut up and put into other things. So that happens too. But
and it's an addition of one.
Yes.
It's not an addition of two.
No, it's just one. It's just one.
Great name for a show. A lot of them have been cut up.
That could be the next title. That could be the next title. So, anybody have any questions now? Yes.
Discuss the orange geometric, almost perfect square, but it's not. But anyway, rectangle.
Well, The red rectangle makes it a picture within a picture. And I, it immediately set up these negative spaces, and it was just a way to bring attention to that area. This is paper. This is paint. The red is paint.
Mm-hmm. On the plexi?
Yeah, on the back.
How many layers did you put there? You can't see any.
This is just one solid piece. This is just one piece of plexiglass.
Yeah.
And I mean, to give you an idea of how I did it, I mean, first the paper part was applied to the plexiglass. Then I painted the red rectangle on the back.
Amazing.
And so you can't scrape these things down. You kind of have to think about where things are going to go. There is some room for, in the first week with the acrylic, I can get it off plexiglass and change something. Like if I paint a flower and I don't like the shape of it, or think, goodbye. I can remove it. But it requires, and I guess that's my printmaking background, you know, moving in these stages. And you think in between. So Linda's smiling because she understands what I'm saying so much.
Yes. You think, one time somebody asked me, well, doesn't it bother you that it's in reverse? And I looked at him and I said, oh gosh, no.
Yeah.
How do you decide on the aspect ratio? I noticed you have a lot of square pieces,
uh-huh.
a few that are rectangular, and the size. What is the process by which you select the size of your paintings?
Well, I think that I'm comfortable with the painting in that scale. I can imagine that from, say, these pieces that I could maybe go bigger or, you know, go more vertically. But I got started, there's a lot of them that are 24 by 24, and then there's some that are 36 by 36. And so I was just comfortable working that way, you know? And I think that, but I can imagine that going in different directions.
You're traveling with the materials in your car.
That's true. Yeah.
So the scale of your vehicle.
That's true. That's true. There is a limit to my, I have a Fiat. I have worked with it a quarter of an inch, an eighth of an inch, and 3/16 of an inch. And if it gets really big, you have to get it thicker so it won't bend. But and also if you get like a quarter of an inch, you're going to see more. You're going to see a little bit more of a dimension in it, the front and the back, than say an eighth of an inch.
So are they framed like in channels? Or are they?
Well, what they do is like the ones that have the two pieces. Mm-hmm. They set up a spacer inside the frame.
Okay.
And then.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Yes, Mary.
In all of the painting of things that can be named, like the flowers, I want to praise the hundreds and hundreds of adjustments you have to make in every painting in what I might call the illusionistic weeds of the painting. But for instance, in that big bottle, in the one you're standing by, in the upper half, the upper half of that bottle, all of that muddling around with figuring out what the illusion is, and in the green bottle, the odd white illusion happening in the all of it. When I look at the work, I'm drawn to all of those extra illusory things that actually are the mechanics that make the paintings work. Talk about you have to sit there and look at the thing. But sometimes these illusionistic things are on the front and sometimes they are on the back.
Yeah.
How are you deciding those?
Well, I have a friend in Santa Fe and she came in and she looked at this piece and she said, you know, Gail, I really like the fact that you're working on plexiglass and you can see through plexiglass and you can also see through the glass bottles. Which was a further comment on what I'm doing. I lay the plexiglass down on top, sometimes on top of things, on top of another piece that it's not going to be with. And I learn something from that. It's really fascinating when you get all of these things in a room and they're not all put together. You can move these things around and see what they do to each other. And sometimes it just almost confuses me because I see, well, is this better or is that better? And but in regard to like Cheryl and I were talking about this, like in a glass bottle, when there's a stem in it, there and there's water in it, the water sometimes makes the stem look like it's going off to the side. Well, that fascinates me, you know, and to be able to get a hint of that happening. And I was actually very proud of this. I'm glad you noticed it. This turned out really well. And then, see, I had that painted. Then, this was all painted. And I wanted something to show through behind it. So I cut out a shape that echoed that shape and placed it behind it. And I got that great illusion there. And then I think this flower maybe was added on the other side after I had painted the bottle. And see, I keep turning these things back and forth, looking at them, and it's a very cuckoo way to work. But I get very excited about it, you know. I mean, I have a lot of fun with it, so that's why I'm working this way, and it has evolved. So, anyway. Yes?
How much are you considering the shadows from the lighting when you're working on these?
That's important. You know, because you can direct the light in a different way and create shadows that go either that way or that way or down. Mm-hmm. So, and I have seen pieces in individual houses, and the lighting has not been considered at all. Right. I really would just love to go in there and fix the lighting a little bit, because it makes a difference. And when they're photographed, when Ben photographs them, that really comes up.
Yeah, that's my question. How do you do that?
Yeah, they're hard to photograph. Yeah, they're really hard. Yes.
Do you do them on a flat plane most of the time, or do you like have something that comes up a little bit, or you look at them at all different angles?
When I'm actually painting, I'm flat. Then I stand them up, and I stand them up against the wall, then I'll place the other piece behind it or something else to take a look at it. Or I can place a color. You know, I can place a color behind it that I might consider, and then before I actually paint it in. You know, things like that, because you can see through it.
Yeah.
So I would like to have a table that maybe slant it up a little bit. That would be nice.
Treat yourself.
Yeah.
Do they still make drafting tables? Like it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, of course they do.
Of course they do.
Is your surface white or black that you have it sitting on?
White.
White.
I have pieces of foam board that I have down on top of this table, and then I just put the piece of plexiglass down and then kind of get started. But I had planned to do a group of vases with flowers in them. I didn't know I was going to do the landscape. That came, that idea developed as this piece went along, and it's very suggestive of the New Mexico landscape.
Gail, when you look around the room, there's so much diversity in the color and the arrangement of things. Color is really important to you. Is that suggested by the flowers? Or they're radically different from one another when you look around the room?
Well, the color comes about, the expanses of color has to be done at the end. And, you know, like on these, I was just trying to not have a lot of color to conflict with the vases and the flowers, just one of the anemones and butterfly orchids. I enjoy color very much, so it's interesting to me to get to change up and explore different ideas on color. And you know, sometimes I look at my work and I think, oh, the ones without color are the best. And then I look at them and say, no, the color ones are the best. And, you know, I can imagine going back and forth, you know, of that. I don't know. It's just kind of fun to look at it.
Would you like to design a fabric?
No.
No.
There are tons of fabric designers out there that do great things. No, I don't think so. So,
I'd like you to talk about some of the surreal elements. Can I bring this one from in here?
Yeah.
That's not something you've talked about.
Okay, good.
And also, it seems like the reverse imagery that you're so familiar with is print money. Well, you know, I'd have to pick one of the heavy ones.
Yeah, there's three layers on that.
Here we go.
Wow.
Oh, that's too heavy. Here, let's sit it on a chair.
Okay.
Put it by the one that has the blue building in it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put it like that.
Can y'all see it?
No. Yeah, angle it. No,
a little more angle.
Okay, here, let me just hold on to it. You know, photography is a tool for me. I have hundreds of pictures of flowers, hundreds of pictures of buildings and things that I see. And in this case, in these two pieces, this is called the Blue Studio. Well, the studio is an adobe building that is an art studio. And it's on the premises where I work in Santa Fe. I don't work in it, someone else does. But I took a picture of it, and I manipulated
picture. I printed a negative image, and the Adobe color comes out blue. And also, I made it symmetrical. There's a connection. You see in the middle with the two chairs and two windows.
Oh, okay.
But these are cut into pieces and placed and applied in this background. There's a lot of that negative imagery up here in the sky. This is a surreal world, and the way that I have painted the butterflies and the flowers is more as they appear in the real world. So I'm combining those two in the same picture. This is another one. In this case, the building has
it up so they can see it. Yeah. Can you all see this?
In this case, the building has been divided and it's separated and placed in a different way. So it's because I've done so much with photography and I'm so process oriented, and I have these things, they creep into my work. and it's part of the kind of it's part of my ideas, and I'm working with it. These are from photographs. These are hollyhocks up against the sky. But this is a negative image of the hollyhocks. You can see the shapes, and the same shapes as the painted flowers. And these butterflies actually do come into that garden and fly around, and I try to paint them. But that's kind of the idea behind the piece of the another world, another idea, and you know, we see things on computers, and as part of our imagery that's hard to avoid. And the artist David Hotney is one of my favorite artists, and I just think he is just the best that could be, because he draws so well, he paints so well, and he also is interested in new technologies and new ways of making images. And he is an artist that reflects our world. And he kind of has, I follow him, and I think he's an interesting artist. So that's why, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be doing this next year, but that's what I was doing at the time. And I consider it an importance. This picture in the back, this is kind of a fun story. This piece, there's a woman that has a party in Santa Fe every summer, and she has a swimming pool, and she lines the swimming pool with adobe pots with these asteria plants in them, and it's just stunning. I mean, it is beautiful. Well, I took pictures at that party, and I came back, and I made negative images, and swimming pool turned out orange. Well, that orange, I mean, I'm just crazy about that orange. And then I placed it, here's my horizontal line again, it's back there, and I also made this symmetrical thing going in the center. And then this is my bouquet of cosmos and asteria, and this is another example of the real and the unreal, and the two existing in the same picture.
Gail, the two in the middle, is that an actual reference to place, or these inventions?
Tano Road, Suzanne knows Tano Road, is a very beautiful spot in Santa Fe, and I had been at a dinner party there, and the sky turned orange. The sunset was just beautiful that night, and this is the sunset. This is the view. This is the view from the portal, and so those images came from that, and then I combined it with my flower vases, and this is the rose is painted. This vase is painted. This is the green painted? The green is painted. Yes. This is a lot of China marker. The white vase with the white flower was cut out of paper, and it was applied behind this drawing. So a lot of people wonder when they see these expanses of color if it's painted or printed or what it is, but it's painted. Yeah, it's painted.
Oh, paper to create a color? No, I've never done that. If it's a flower or it's a shape or something.
This shape is cut out, and that is cut out.
Yes.
Yes.
This
is cut out.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very precise cutting.
There's a new element in this body of work, too, the glitter.
Yeah.
I need to
be used a little restraint.
But yeah, the fairy princess garden has glitter in it, and this one, the fire wheels, which grow in Texas and New Mexico, are painted. The pink butter cups are painted. The blue turquoise flowers are reverse images of, and they are, these, this is paper and it's cut out. Some of the stems are cut out. Some of them are painted. The black started as a black line on white paper, and that image was reversed. And in fact, this here is here. It is as white.
You let the paint dry.
It's a secret, don't tell.
I use acrylic medium.
Okay.
And I just put a little bit of that on there and then sprinkle it on there. And let it dry. Blow it off. Yes.
I don't understand how you do the cutout and attach them to the plexiglass. So when I look at it, do I see blue?
No, you do not see the blue.
And why is that?
Because after they are applied, there is a layer of acrylic paint that goes on the back of it, and because the acrylic medium is transparent,
and it's the same material as the acrylic paint, it doesn't show. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if, when I'm looking, if I'm looking at it, applying it, cut out, I am actually through the glue on the image.
Yes.
Yes. Why don't you attach it to something like that? If you've got, why don't you attach it to the back of the backboard rather than on the back of the plexiglass? So that you don't see the glue, the glue's on the back side. On the board.
What board?
Then it would cast the shadow.
This is one piece.
Okay.
And there's nothing behind the plexiglass.
Well, there's a, behind the plexiglass, there's a piece of foam board.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
Why don't you attach it to the foam board instead of the plexiglass? Just so that you don't see the glue.
But you don't see that. I'm just curious about, because I'm not looking at that closely.
Yeah. The
matte medium dries totally, can't see it at all.
And the thing about it is, if it's on the surface of a piece of cutout paper, that is like conserving it.
Yeah. I think bookbinders use it for conservation.
Yeah. Well, I think we ought to stop.